You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
Good morning, everyone. Good full room here. This is good. Where do you folks bus in from? This is great. Peoria. Thank you. Can I just say what we all know? And I looked in the mirror and I saw it again. I'm as sad as you are. I got another really bad haircut. I've tried so hard not to admit it. It's been a week and I've been bluffing like it was a good haircut, but it's not. It's a really bad haircut. And what's so disappointing is the one that I had just before was so good. I looked so good for about like a month. Same barber, but this haircut was so good. Grown men would come up to me and say, I'm strangely drawn to you. And now this. And I don't know what the difference is. Same guy, same everything. And you can't tell them. They're all Russians. So if you tell them you got a bad haircut, word gets out, you're getting a mohawk somewhere else in town. So I don't know what to do. And again, you know my apology. You have to look at me. It's not like I pay for this. You pay for this. Anyways, one of these days I'm just going to shave it all off. And yeah. Thank you, David. Thank you. When 50-year-old men tell you they like it, it's just not good. You want the kids. You want the hipsters to tell you they like it. I thought it was David who said it. Oh, no. Oh, you mean something. Yours has punch to it. Yeah. All right. Open your Bibles onto that passage about hair in Jeremiah. To Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Eventually, I will get there. Well, here we go. So you've learned grace, and you have learned who you are in Christ, and you are resolute against anything that threatens your freedom in Christ. For it has healed you, maybe. It has matured you. It has given you a way of seeing Jesus that makes sense, that allows you to know His love and be loved. And so you are leery of anything that smacks of lesser. And then one day you receive, let's say, a note. And it says, hello, my friend. I have something for you to do. It's called a good deed, a good work. What do you say? God. We are leery. We are very leery. How can this be from God? I mean, He set me free from this stuff, right? I mean, I don't have to prove who I am through the good deeds or works. Look, I've got a new heart. When I feel like doing something good, I'll do it. I am not going back under the law. But before you throw the note away, it might be good to ask why you, in particular, received this note. It might also be helpful to know who did not receive this note. For example, one's preoccupied with religious striving or moralism or pharisaical smugness. They did not receive this particular note. I want to now look at that passage I had us turn to. It, chapter 5, verse 1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. What a powerful statement again. It wasn't for something else. It was so that we could be free that he set us free. Whatever Jesus did on the cross in his death and resurrection was for our freedom. He says, I don't want you ever, 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 ever to be not free again. I don't want anything, he says in verse 1, don't let anything put you under a yoke of slavery again. You're free. And then he drops down and explains this freedom. And he says in verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren. But don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but instead through love, serve one another. Apparently, free people can go through seasons where they misunderstand this freedom as a permission to self-protection. He says, don't let this be played. Don't at all turn it into an opportunity for the flesh, that unredeemed place in you that wants to take advantage, that will never, ever be redeemed, will never be corrected, will never be transformed or matured. It is that dark place that still exists from Adam in every human being. He says, don't at all. You're so far past that. Don't let this freedom be turned into an opportunity for the flesh. Instead, you guys who are free, through love now, serve one another. That's what you get to do. Apparently, free people who understand grace and their identity are really the only folk who can effectively love this way. Apparently, free people who understand grace and their identity are really the only folk who can live this way and love this way. A friend who cares for missionaries in Europe, and he made this statement, the vast majority of long-term missionaries I meet with have gone overseas only in hopes of somehow assuaging their unresolved shame. Free people. Only free people get to love like this. The rest do it out of religious obligation or shame, or moralism, or trying to prove that they are more than they are. They don't know who they are yet. Free people, don't let anybody ever put you under any other yoke of slavery again. And instead of using it as a tool for the flesh, through love, serve one another. Now, you have heard us preach grace and identity like jittery hyenas handing out cups of espresso at a barista festival. But for all of its liberation, it was never to be an end in itself, a superior theological proposition, or only an antidote to fear and moralism and shame. I do a lot of reflecting now that I'm not the primary preacher here anymore, and I spend time on airplanes and in airports, and I just find myself reflecting on all the years at Open Door. And I wonder if I thought this. If I emphasize the wonderful but potentially hard works of love, that we might think there was a catch or a lid to his grace. And if that were all it was, then it's an opiate for the masses so God could get folks to do good deeds. Then indeed it was a rigged economy. But it turns out that maybe these works of love were to benefit me in doing them even more than the recipients of them. God has set us free in grace so our lives could count for more than bad religion or self-indulgent, self-protective vapidness. Your new nature will eventually tell you that finding the ideal self-actualized lifestyle is not nearly enough to satisfy. This this new creature inside of you will eventually call out and say, listen, I love you so much, so I'm going to tell you, you could try all day and you can maneuver it just right, but if you find the ideal self-actualized lifestyle, it won't satisfy you. I don't know how I've missed this verse all these years. Well, I guess you do it by just avoiding the book. You hide from it like the minor prophets. I don't go there. I'm not going to mess around with that. Titus, listen to what Titus says. He's saying it to me as one who is a preacher, especially. He says in chapter 3, verse 8, what I'm about to say to you is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, John, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God, like the 8 or 9 in this room, there's many more, I'm sure. For those of us who have believed God, most of us in this room, that you would be careful, intent, literally careful, leaning, scanning the horizon, looking around, giving heed to. This is a trustworthy statement concerning things, John, I want you to speak confidently so those who have believed God will be careful to engage, here it is, in good deeds, in good works, in wonderfully hard works of love. He says this, these things are good and profitable for men. Good and profitable for men. They're not that helpful for women, but for men. If you're a man, my gosh, this thing preaches at a men's retreat like you can't even imagine. Good and profitable for men and women. Good meaning excellent. Excellent, the top grade, the best thing, the morally high, everything, this is it. And profitable meaning your whole life, your maturity, your life, the way you see life, the way you get to do life, everything about it, it keeps bringing profit after profit. It keeps bringing this life of beauty, this abundant life that we dreamt of. What a verse. Titus 3:8, keep looking at it during the week. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently with great joy so that those who have believed in God will be careful, not careful like they're afraid, but careful like they're looking around. Will be careful to engage in good deeds. Yeah, these things are great. They're excellent, and they profit every single thing about you. This is what our new natures have been calling out to be fulfilled by. So we are in a series called The Wonderful Hard Works of Love. And I am overmatched. But we knew this series had to happen. And I'm so proud and delighted that we're doing it. These first 3 weeks, I'll do the first 2 weeks. This is kind of an introductory week, this first one, giving ourselves to works of love uniquely fashioned for us. And then next week is a message I've never done before, anything like it. I'm scared to give it. It might be a good Sunday for you to try out another church. Listen what I've picked for Valentine's Day. Giving up my hidden self-entitled fantasies so I can be fully present in my real world. I'm not even going to show up for that one. And then I've got celebrities throughout the series. This is so great. Names that if I said them, you would know. Week 3, Shannon McBride. Ugh. She's so scared. She is so scared. But for work of for not having a title, this is kind of a working title, giving away your daily life. We sat in the car one day, and she started preaching at me, and I said, well, I'm not the only one who's going to have to listen to this. And I said, Open Door needs to hear this. And she said, are you sure? Will you help me? And I said, yeah, but oh, I'm so excited. So give us some flexibility after that, but we have some beautiful, beautiful messages and preachers coming up. So let's go back again, what we know about us. I am a lover. You are a lover. John 13:34, at our very core, this is who I am. 2 Corinthians 5 says, I'm a new creature, a brand new creature. The most real me is not this guy trying to get away with anything. The most real me, if you'll give me a chance, wants to love and is fulfilled in love. So God remedies your discontent by inviting you to love. Now I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, all I'm doing is building a case here. Ephesians chapter 2, how I love this passage. I could spend all day. I'm just going to pick it up in verse 4 just to remind us, because it's all one thought. But God, chapter 2, verse 4, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, for every generation, what he wants to do most is show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us who are in Christ Jesus. He wants to lavish his kindness upon us. For by grace you've been saved, through faith, and here we go, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, grab that word, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, which God laid out beforehand from before the world began, and they show up sometimes in the middle of the day. Sometimes they show up when you wake up in the morning. Sometimes they come once and for two decades worth. But he planned them and prepared them beforehand that you would be able to recognize them and then walk in them. That's how much he loved you, that he gave you that. You look at the first use of works in the verse before, where he says in verse 9, not as a result of works, so no one would boast. This is a work that would be done extrinsically, from outside of me. I'm going to do a good behavior to earn merit from God. And Paul says, that's just dead. It's of no value. You can't get saved that way. Nobody wants it. It doesn't help anybody. It's just empty. It's a dead work. Romans calls it the dead work of the law. And then he says, but if you're not playing that game, look at verse 10. All those who have been saved, not by their own works, but as a gift, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And there's that word, good works. This is done intrinsically, from inside out, from who I am. And it is not to earn anything. That's why they're good works. They're not dead works. These are beautiful works that come out of this new nature almost involuntarily sometimes. We're his workmanship. We're created in Christ for good works. These works that God prepared uniquely, individually for you beforehand, specifically with your name on it, so that we could walk in them for the rest of our days. Eternity is daily invading your present life, bringing specific works of love with your name on it. And then we find ourselves saying, I think I can do that. I think I want to do that. and we try on an activity of love and begin to walk in it. Before this world began, he decided which day he would lay out which particular unique, wonderful gift for you to discover in your otherwise unsupernatural seeming life. So you're in the middle of your day thinking of that it's about getting this or that or going to this or that place or playing this or that phone app, and there it is. You find yourself smack dab in the middle of a supernatural once-in-a-history opportunity. It might be a single momentary action or a lifetime commitment, but God and all of the angels in heaven are incredibly excited to see you open the gift. I can remember the first one of those that I remember as a brand new Christian. John, you've known me for about a week now, and I've just been allowing you to drink this all in. But let's try this out now. That troubled-looking guy staring at his coffee over in that booth, I want you to walk over and sit down and just ask him about himself. And eventually, after he's had a chance to tell his story, when it makes sense, you could say something like this. Hey, I just wanted to tell you that you're not alone. That there is a God and he sent his son Jesus for us. I just found this out. Anyway, he's watching all this and he's got us. And then it changes. And it gets more involved. And at times it gets scarier. And at times love means that you get used. And at times the requests come when you are just absolutely worn out. Now remember this one. So John, you're about to get a phone call. The man is an alcoholic and he's losing his family. He is desperate. I know it's late and I know you're fried. He's going to use you. But I want you to change out of your pajamas and go pick him up. He's going to ask you for money and a sleeping bag. Do it. You'll never see the money again or the sleeping bag. He's going to want to talk for a long time. He's very drunk. You don't have to give any talk about me, John. He knows you're a pastor. Just let him talk. You'll never see him again. Thank you. We discover that loving others can be hard because love is costly to the one giving it. And I couldn't have told you this early on because I was just at the start of it and it was all success. But I've learned that we can self-protect from love from fear of being used, huh? I think I thought God would never allow me to get overwhelmed in doing good. That's when I was in Up With People, I believe. And that God would always make sure that in doing good that I would be protected from friendly fire. And when that didn't happen, I began to cover up and I read some cards that I tore up. John, I know you feel sad and betrayed right now, but I want you to know the healing that comes from doing good even in the hard times. I have something for you to do. It involves committing to a person who can offer you little, but I tore up a lot of those cards. Now, God knows this about me. Oh, how he loves me. He's not angry or disgusted, and he continues to write cards for me going, I'm going through a lot of stationery. He knows who I am, and he knows one day I will pick up the next card and give it a try. One thing I want to say about the good works, they are not always obvious. I wrote this, it's less important that I figure out if a particular work is from God. It's hugely important that I do it in response to his love. And I usually discover those turn out to be the good works of God anyway. Maybe this will clarify. Remember what love is. It is always and only a process of meeting needs. So if that's true, then at least helpful for me is to ask, is there a need I can meet that I'm looking at? Is there an opportunity or a request for me to be needed? And maybe the most important question that I ask when I see something that looks like I might be able to do a good deed of love, what's the voice of the request? How does the request come to me? If you know this, my background, if you know the voices in my head, you know that I get this one, something like it, a lot. Hey, why didn't you help that lady with her groceries? What's wrong with you? Go back there now, or you won't be able to stop thinking about it all day, I'm telling you. You know, I was thinking about it while I was in the prayer room getting ready for the message. That probably doesn't give me in my heart what I want to just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not under the law. I could turn it around and say, yeah, I didn't help her with her groceries. And I don't have to beat myself up about it. Jesus, you adore me. She's still struggling with her groceries. I'm going back there. I can turn that from this action, these dead works of shame, to saying, God, I know who I am. And I don't have to listen to that voice. I know you, Jesus, and I know that it would never be wasted time to go back and help her with her groceries. Observations. Sometimes a good work is just the activity of a moment. Hey, let that car cut in front of you. Sometimes a good work lasts for a long, long season. When you say yes to a certain commitment, it may last 20, 30 years. Sometimes they come in bunches, don't they? You feel like, hey, enough. I agreed to the first 7 because I didn't think there would be 5 more. And now I'm feel like I'm juggling dishes. And he goes, I'm just having fun. Yeah. He will never play you. He will never work you. He's never setting you up to see how much he can get out of you before he backs off. Sometimes you can't see any benefit, huh? You do this act work of love and you think, thank me now. Show benefit. Instead, they go away. And you don't see any benefit. And this is why Jesus says to us, were you not told that there's a movie night in heaven where we get to see all of these and you get to see what I was doing and what you didn't see? And movie night is every night. And I get to watch the things that made no sense, that seemed so arbitrary, which felt like I wasted my time and I wasted my life. And God says, I want you to see what I was doing in the midst of that. Well, by the way, sometimes you will miss these. You'll miss a whole bunch of them. Don't worry about it. It's not a test. This is a gift. He knows how to find you. He knows how to get the cards to you. And by the way, some of you are in a whirlwind right now, and you just feel like, please do not say one more thing to do. I can't. I'm devastated. I have so little to offer. You need to hear, you get to be someone else's good work. You get to be some. There will be a time where it won't be beneficial for you to stay there. Because what fulfills is good works. But right now, will you rest? Will you let others love you? Will you let the good works of love be done upon you? He also doesn't wait until you're all mature to give you good deeds to do. I've gotten to do so many good deeds since December 23rd, 1979. Do you know how immature I am in some areas still? And it has never disqualified me. Guys, I speak. That's what I do. I talk. I prepare things. Do you know that I go to this day, I don't know how to say any more honest to you, I go through so much tension before I speak, for a long time before I speak. I am a wreck in doing that. Every time I speak, everywhere I go, he still says, would you like me to stop? No. No, God, I don't. I didn't think you did. So let's keep doing it. And I go, why haven't you matured me in that area? Maybe because you need me. Maybe because it draws you to me. I don't like it any more than you do. I won't let it last a moment longer. But all I want to tell you is that I will not stop giving you these beautiful works of love just because you are not mature in all areas. This shed blood of Jesus, this broken body of Jesus, caused forgiveness for me, caused new life to surge through me. The payment of my God. Think of what he's doing. He says, I'll come back, but in the meantime, you represent me now. You get to be like me in loving people the way that I would love them. So because of this, I got this note a long, long time ago. So I want you to commit to a community of faith. I won't tell you how long right now. All I'm asking is that no matter what happens, don't allow yourself to run from them. Just stay. You will be hurt like you've never been hurt. And you will do it wrong from every conceivable angle. You'll give your entire heart and end up with wounding that you'll never quite ever get resolved. Years later, you'll think that you're all better, and then something will come up to remind you that you're not. I want you to try out preaching from my word. You will speak to them 1,000 Sundays. Love them well. Will you do that? Sacrifice anything except your family to protect this community. They are very, very precious to me. Oh, wait. Excuse me. I'm sorry. There's one more. It has your name on it. Be careful. Tell them, this is a trustworthy statement, tell them to be careful, to scan the horizon, to be looking, to watch, because I am giving them great deeds to do, and they are so excellent. They're healing to their bones, and it changes the world, and it changes a community. It changes their very outlook and their very posture. And it is profitable. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm asking you, except to search the horizon and look. You're lovers. You know, it starts in here. Before you leave today, you get to look around. Do you know there's a rap on this place? When I go out places, I think people can say, yeah, I visited your church. Nobody talked to me. Open Door, my people, we were probably just busy loving each other. That's okay. But there's somebody in this room who's all freaked out today. That guy right over there. He so much wishes that you would talk to him. It's one of those good deeds of love because you're a lover. And then you go out from this room. Then you go out and you start looking. You say, what's going on? Life is not just happening randomly. Life is not non-supernatural. Life is supernaturally happening to me. What's going on? What is this that I can do? I can't do them all. It's okay to say no, all of that stuff. But I'm a lover, and he's given me this beautiful life to live. And these things come for us every single day. We want them. Jesus, as we start into this series, I know where I can go. I go through seasons where I cover up and self-protect. And I only love during those times in things that look good for me. And instead you're saying, it's okay, kid. I know. I've forgiven that too. How I love you, John. And how well I am prepared to give you another card. This is so you. I've so got this. Thank you, Jesus.